Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Muthoot Microfin Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Mistry from JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manav. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of Muthoot Microfin. First of all, I would like to thank the management of Muthoot Microfin for giving us the opportunity to host the call. From the management team, we have Mr. Thomas Muthoot John, Executive Director, Mr. Sadaf Sai, CEO, Mr. Praveen, CFO, Mr. Udish Ullas, COO, Mr. Rajat Gupta, AVP Investor Relations, and Mr. Ammar Mohammed, AVP Investor Relations, Head of Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Sadaf Sai for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the earnings call for Muthoot Microfin for Q4 FY25 results. Before I get into the financial performance, I would like to take a moment to reflect on what truly actually defines us. Our values, our culture, and the principle that guides our decision. These may not always translate into immediate financial results, but they are the bedrock of our long-term success. They shape who we are, how we operate, how we navigate challenges, and especially in uncertain times like these. It is these softer yet deeply critical aspects of our commitment to integrity, innovation, and resilience that sets us apart from the rest of the competition. They may not always be quantifiable, but their impact is undeniably reinforcing our foundation and enabling us to stand strong even in the face of external disruption. As we look ahead, we will continue to invest in these areas, not merely as a complement to our strategy, but as a core pillar of what makes us unique and resilient. In this context, I am proud to share with you a significant development. Within 16 months of our listing, Muthoot Microfin today has been awarded an ESG rating with a score of 72.2, which is a top tier rating for CareEdge with ESG 1 rating. Care ESG Rating Limited is a SBI licensed ESG rating provider. This is not only a powerful endorsement of our responsible and sustainable growth strategy, but also the highest ESG rating ever awarded by Care in the financial services sector. It really, really indicates our commitment towards environment, social aspect, and also governance. If you look at the score, we have scored 79 points in governance as compared to the median of 54 points. So it really shows how the company is committed to its governance aspect. Apart from that, to highlight some of the key achievements during the quarter, one of the key aspects is that we got a eKYC license from Aadhaar Authority. We are now able to do eKYC for our customer. This not only improves our ability to identify customer better, it also ensures that we are able to prevent fraud and eliminate bad customers. And this is going to play out in a big way in our digital foray that we are trying to do. Apart from this, we have made progress in app download. Today, out of the 34 lakh customers that we service, 18 lakh customers have downloaded our Muthoot Mahila Mitra app. Our commitment towards overall well-being of our customers is always there. We have around 740 clinics, e-clinics in our branches, out of which we have done around 10.2 lakh consultations to our customers, which is also helping us to retain customer and also ensuring that in difficult times, the customer is protected and is getting the service. Apart from the software aspects, in terms of our financial performance, our AUM for the financial year has grown by 1.3%. We closed this financial year at an AUM of 12,357 crores. This was a calibrated strategy. As you are all aware, this was a particularly challenging year for microfinance institutions. We had multiple challenges, starting from a Q1 slowdown, resulting in over-leveraging of the customer because of there was a lot of growth in microfinance segment earlier, leading to guardrails being introduced by SROs, which of course had a impact on the number of customers which were able to be eligible for disbursement. But considering that, we have made sure that we do calibrated disbursement. As a result, we did 8,857 crores of disbursement, 8,872 crores of disbursement during the financial year. Our net interest income has grown by 14.3% year on year. We recorded a net interest income of 1,551 crore. Our PPOP has grown from has grown to 868 crores, and our total income for the year stood at around 2,564 crores, which is a 13.7% year-on-year growth. And if you look at our overall GNPA, it has reached to around 4.84% from 3.03% in the last quarter. One of the things which I would highlight in this financial year, we have paid considerable attention to ensuring that we insulate our balance sheet from uncertainties. So this year, the credit cost has increased. Our overall credit cost has come out to be around 9.4%, which includes around 230 crores of management overlay. If you exclude that management overlay, our credit cost for the full year is around 7.5%. That is in line with the lower band of our guidance of 7.5 to 8.5%. As a result, of course, the PAT has been impacted. For the quarter, we have a loss of around 401 crores. And for the full financial year, we have a loss of around 222 crores. But as I said, what we have laid down is a foundation of a stronger balance sheet, which is insulated from any uncertainty. We have had instances like Karnataka legislation, which came into place, which had an impact. Even though the legislation is directed towards unregulated entity, but by the time the regulation is put in place, there was a lot of speculation and which impacted the collection efficiency. We have already seen a very good improvement in collection efficiency post that. But of course, our initial portfolio was impacted because of that. We have made adequate provisions to ensure that there are no uncertainties going forward. And this 230 crore provision includes the provision that we need to have for any adverse impact to the portfolio in Karnataka. In the meantime, I'm sure you guys are aware that there is a legislation which has been proposed in Tamil Nadu also. But the good part about it, unlike the Karnataka legislation, this Tamil Nadu legislation is not based on any customer grievances or anything. This is a proactive step that the government has taken. So as far as at the moment it is concerned, there has been no disturbance in the performance of the portfolio so far. We have been able to continue to collect the way we were collecting, and the portfolio remains pretty stable in Tamil Nadu as of now. Overall, for the full financial year, our collection efficiency stands at around 93.6%, which is around 4.8% dip from the last financial year. And our ex bucket collection efficiency remains 99.5%. If you look at in terms of our investment, we have opened more branches this financial year. We have reached a branch count of 1,699 branches, which is around 12.7% growth year on year. Last year, the branch count was 1,508 branches. And in terms of our employee count, it has reached to around 15,989, which is also a 15.3% growth year on year. Our disbursements have come down as compared to the last financial year. As I mentioned, we have done calibrated disbursement around 8,872 crores, which is around 16.8% lower than the last financial year. Meanwhile, our customer acquisition continues. We have reached a customer count of 34,30,000 customers, which is a 2.3% growth over the last financial year. I think in terms of our growth, in terms of our branch expansion, in terms of our strategy, we have put the foundations there. We have also had a very in-depth analysis of our portfolio. During all of these crises, you get an opportunity to understand what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. And we have analyzed our 34 lakh customers, and we have found that around 12,70,000 customers also have retail loan exposures. And out of those 12,70,000 customers, a good amount of customers have gold loans exposure. A very good amount of around 1,14,000 customers even have housing loan or mortgages exposure. And around 1,56,000 customers have two-wheeler loan exposure. These are the products that we are already offering to our customers as a part of our cross-sell opportunity that we have through our group company. In the coming financial year, we wish to leverage on this opportunity. Cumulatively, if we see the customer base that is having exposure and retail loan, their outstanding is almost 28,000 crores. And if we tap that opportunity, we do feel that we can easily tap those customers out of that and build a good portfolio of secured loans of 5,000 crores. So going forward, this would be one of our growth strategy. This will also help us retain more customers, also build our wallet share of our customers. The good part about it is that these are all loans which are already outstanding with our customers, and by offering these products, we will be replacing the existing loans, so we would not be over leveraging this customer, but we were insulating our customers from any sort of unregulated lending and also helping them grow and build better portfolio with us. So that's the growth strategy going forward. And that will really help us build a strong balance sheet. And as I mentioned, our commitment to social goals and double impact, both on the bottom line as well as social impact, will remain. And we will continue to focus on that. And with that, I'll close my opening remark, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 to ask a question. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. I may repeat, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1. We have our first question from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. The first one is just a simple request if the result and the investor presentation can be put out in time to have a look at it. The investor presentation is still not there on the top screen. Having said that, I just have one question. How are we going to implement the guardrail which is going to restrict us in 2+1 format? How do we restrict the fourth lender coming in? Thanks.
Yeah, so on the guardrails, we have already implemented all the guardrails that have been recommended by MFIN as well as SAGAN. The guardrail one we have implemented in August itself, and guardrail two, as we started the financial year, have already been implemented. And in terms of its impact, of course, there's an impact on the throughput. We have had higher rejections because of that, but that has not deterred us from the business performance that we have continued to do. But if you look at the impact of the guardrail is more from avoiding over-leveraged customers. And I think we have given that information in our presentation also. If you look at consistently quarter on quarter, the number of customers which were having four loans are coming down. In Q4, it has come down to around 6.2%, which started from around 8% in the financial, 10.6% in Q2. Which reduced to 8.2 in Q3 and around 6.8% in Q4. And at the same time, the unique customers have increased, which were around 32% in Q2. It has reached to around 35% in Q4. And even if you look at from a 2 lakh rupee cap per borrower, those percentage of customers have reduced from 3.8% in Q2 to 1.8% in Q4, and unique customers or customers which are only having 50 lakh of exposure with us are around 39%, which were around 38% earlier. So from that perspective, we are much better placed. Almost 81% of our customers, 83% of our customers are having only us plus two lenders, so we have opportunity to lend.
Yes, sir. So there was some disturbance from someone there. Please continue.
Yeah, I think that's all that I would like to say. On the presentation upload, my apologies, but I think before the call started being uploaded, we have just concluded our board meeting and uploaded the presentation. We take your feedback.
Thank you. Best of luck for MP Inquiry.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on how are the collection trends in the month of April in terms of expected collection efficiency for the month of April?
Yeah, the collection efficiency is 99.5% in April.
This is ex bucket. Okay, that's so trends are holding up quite well. And so, how are the trends in Tamil Nadu in terms of ex bucket collection efficiency? Though it's, I think, still bit early to say, but do you expect any disruption in Tamil Nadu the way we have seen in Karnataka?
Yeah, so Tamil Nadu, there has been no disturbance at all because of this legislation. The expropriate continues to be 99.6%. That correction efficiency is holding well. So there is no such disturbance as of now.
And the third question is on the stage 1, stage 2, stage 3 coverages, because I think presentation is now uploaded. I can get those numbers from there. Sure. So third question then is, what is the guidance on credit cost next year? If you have made all the provisions on the existing stress already, so how should, so whether the next year credit cost will be steady state credit cost, and what will be that number?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. I think first of all, I would like to mention that based on the feedback that we have received from various analysts and also our own internal assessment and assessing that the Karnataka issue is also very recent. On the stage 2, we have increased provision considerably. So stage 2 provision today stands at around 30.8%, which was a year ago at around 1.06%, and in the last quarter it was around 9.01%. Stage 3 provision coverage has also increased considerably. In Q3 it was 58.72%, it is now 73.3%. So we have made considerable effort in terms of making enough provision. Having said that, I think Karnataka portfolio is in fact is still very new. Much of the loan has raised to stage 3. We don't anticipate that to raise to stage 3 because the collection pullback has been pretty good in Karnataka as well. But we have made adequate provisions. We are carrying a 230 crores of management overlay, which should be adequate to take care of any concerns that may come in Karnataka. But in terms of our guidance, we are guiding towards 4 to 5% credit cost. That is our worst case kind of a scenario. That is what we are guiding towards. 4 to 6%.
Sure, sir. Because you made all the provisions right now, next year should be a credit cost should be a steady state number of, let's say, lower than this number, or you expect higher credit cost earlier in first half?
Yeah, Nidesh, I think that's what our anticipation is also there. But again, as I said, situation is developing. Karnataka just happened in February, and the impact of it is being seen, and we are right now the early trends are positive, and Tamil Nadu there is no impact. So if all of that holds good, then definitely there would be no incremental cost or no surprising cost. But since the situations are very, very nascent and they are still developing, I don't want to say that the cost would be like a normal year. But what we are guiding towards 4 to 6% credit cost for the next financial.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Nidesh.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Mayank Mistry from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So, sir, my question is, repeat, if for the quarter we have taken such elevated credit cost, and even after that, our stage 3 is also up by almost 180 basis from 3% to 4.8%. So now, my question is that if we have taken such high credit cost, what would be our write-off? Because 73%, although we are providing, again, there is some stress we are looking at in our book, right?
To answer your question, as I said, we have increased the credit cost because we have increased our provision in the stage 2 bucket. Stage 2 bucket, if you look at, it has gone from 1.06 in the last financial year to 30.8. And also from last quarter, it has gone from 9% to 30.08. So, because the Karnataka portfolio is very new in terms of the delinquency, we don't anticipate all of it to go to NPA and then to write off subsequently. But we are providing it for, so making sure that there are no further shocks that are there. As far as the write-off are concerned, this year we have had cumulatively around 538 crores of write-off. Which includes around whatever waiver and settlements are there, and any ERC related write-off and other write-offs that we have done is 538 crores of write-off. This is on a worst year. We don't anticipate similar kind of write-offs to come in the next year. The elevated credit cost will ensure that we have sufficient buffer If you look at overall NPA versus provision, it's 127% provision cover over the NPA. So which really, really kind of puts us in a comfortable position to ensure that there are no shocks.
Okay. So there is a possibility that some of the book also might reverse from stage 2. So for which we are already making 30% coverage.
Yes, correct.
Okay. And secondly, sir, how is this Tamil Nadu ordinance different from Karnataka? Because I think that both are only for unregulated entities, right? It's not like Karnataka is only is on both regulated and unregulated both entities. So, so there is a possibility even from Tamil Nadu that the people might start taking advantage of situation like they did in Karnataka.
Yeah, I think both the things, being a part of SRO where I sit on the board and had an opportunity to engage with the state government at both the sides quite closely from the SRO side, I have a very good perspective on this. I think on the Karnataka legislation, it was driven by a lot of news reporting which started before, and multiple news items were there that there is distress because of microfinance lending and all of that, and because of which government came up with the legislation. Essentially, it was only targeted at microfinance entities and stuff like that. But we were able to demonstrate to the government that it is not microfinance entities which are causing the distress. It is unregulated entities which are causing the distress. Most of the microfinance entities follow a code of conduct which has been laid down by RBI and also SROs. So we were able to convince. But of course, because of the news reporting, there was a certain amount of confusion which was created by among the borrower, and that had an impact on overall collection. But as the legislation came in, there is a lot of clarity which has come in that regulated entities are not part of this. So we are seeing better collections coming in Tamil Nadu. On the contrary, there is a very good clarity. The legislation is more driven out of proactive steps that have been taken by the government to avoid coercive lending. If you read the act, the name of the act itself is Prevention of Coercive Lending Practices, and it is not talking about microfinance, it is talking about all the lending practices. And it is very clearly from the day one focused on unregulated entities. It is not focused on microfinance as such. So I think that is the main part. Apart from that, of course, Tamil Nadu is a very mature market. It has been one of the top markets for microfinance business for last 20 years. And we have not seen any such confusion being created in the market. So I think from that perspective, the market is pretty much insulated. We have not seen any such impact of this legislation so far, and hopefully that will not be there in coming days as well.
Okay. Okay, sir. And sir, our Muthoot Micro King Plus three lenders currently are at 11.1%, and plus four is four, and above that is 4.8. So
yes, four lenders is at 6.8% and three lenders, yeah.
So when do this book go to 0% now from here on?
So if you look at from an AUM perspective, it is already at 1.8%. The four lender plus, I think in a couple of quarters it should be less than 1% or close to 0% as the loans wind up. It's usually microfinance loans wind up quite fast. So I think by September we should have close to a zero number.
By September, okay. Okay, sir. And yeah, sir, that's all from my side. Thank you. And all the best for coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Bestral Research and Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So Sir, we have always highlighted our use of scorecards and separate credit officers in our process and how this will help us to reduce the credit cost compared to our peers. But I don't think it has helped us in any way. So can you help us understand how this process has helped you in any way and what is that I am missing? And what more changes you have made or plan to make in the underwriting process so that we can avoid such huge credit costs in the future? Thank you.
Yeah, I think if you look at from a perspective of industry GNPA versus our GNPA, they have considerably kind of different. We are at 4.84. The industry is close to 13% GNPA. So from that perspective, of course, the credit scorecard is making that impact. But again, the credit scorecard does not take into consideration any political kind of a disturbance that is created. So that, of course, cannot be modeled in. But having said that, I think what is our future strategy? As I mentioned in my opening remarks, we are looking at a little bit of a diversification of our portfolio. As an industry, as RO and as a company, we have made multiple representations to RBI in terms of looking at liberalizing qualifying asset criteria. And there is a high likelihood that RBI might look at that, and that will open us an opportunity to do multiple products. And we have already started products like Micro LAP. And also we have a product called MSDB, which is gold-based product, and we have two-wheeler financing and housing finance available from our company. And I think we will leverage on this opportunity and the analytics that we have done on our portfolio. We have around 12,37 customers which have multiple retail loan products, almost 17,007 crores of portfolio between these three products, which is gold, LAP and two-wheeler loans, around 8,000 crores of gold portfolio alone. That definitely will help us minimize our cost. One thing we have also noticed in our analytics is customers which are having gold loan exposure, their comparative delinquency is lesser. This is from a point that those customers are having some ability to save. That's how they have created gold assets, and they are able to generate some surplus cash, and they have the better ability to service their capital. So as we increase our exposure to the customers who have gold loans and build a portfolio, that will definitely help our balance sheet to be more secure.
Yeah, sorry to harp on this point more. Sir, Ujjivan, which is based in Karnataka itself and which is also facing the same climate, has reduced much lower credit cost and the guidance is also much lower. So that is what I'm trying to understand. What exact, something must have went wrong in our internal processes that our cumulative credit cost is 15% for the current crisis. So can you elaborate few of the steps which went wrong and which we are planning to fix it going forward in microfinance?
Yeah, so I think barring Karnataka, if we look at southern portfolio has really behaved well. Karnataka, because of specific issue, has had an impact, but other than that, if you look at for us, Kerala is one of the best portfolio for us, where credit cost as well as any sort of delinquency is lesser, the collection efficiency is 100% on X bucket and close to 99% overall. Our focus would be to continue to focus on these markets and build a little bit more portfolio. Also, the new market that we have entered, which is Andhra and Telangana, we have 100% digital collection and 100% collection on time. Our focus would be to build those markets also. So going forward, our focus would be to build more portfolio in South and have a 60-40 ratio instead of what we have today in 50-50 ratio.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's it from my side.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to take questions from all participants in the conference, please restrict yourself to only one question per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. I repeat, please restrict yourself to only one question per participant. We have our next question from the line of Nitin from Green Capital Single Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to the management. So I speak more as an investor rather than an analyst. So just for the record, extremely disappointing set of results from the company. My question is, in terms of impairment of financial instruments, you've taken an impairment of 52 crores this quarter, and your total impairment for the year is 1042 crores, which has obviously your net has gone down to 222 crores in the black versus 449 crores. Something is drastically going wrong, and it is not about the microfinance industry. What is the company doing? And this is a tough question to ask to the management. What is the company doing to come back from this? And can you please tell us how will you ensure that your gross NPA levels are not crossing? Because your gross NPA levels are shooting and there is no demand in the market.
Yep. So our GNPA level are at 4.84%, which is at an elevated number, but this is the peak of these GNPAs. We feel that in coming quarters, these numbers will only come down because we are seeing better collection efficiency, as well as this year we have calibratedly not grown our portfolio. Our portfolio has remained almost stagnant. The new trend that we are seeing, that there is opportunities to build portfolio, the markets are stabilizing. Also, as I outlined, that our strategy is to diversify towards some of the new products which are more secured in nature. That will definitely help us to ensure that our portfolio remains more stable and we don't have higher GNPAs. But having said that, from the current portfolio also, we anticipate a better collection. We have seen that in our vintage curves. The peak of those NPA cycle has already been achieved, and they are all coming down. So going forward, we don't anticipate such high credit costs, barring any sort of an event. The focus is on to build a sustainable balance sheet. That's why the credit cost is high, and it includes around 230 crores of management overlay. Provision costs and the loss that we have incurred for the full financial year of 232 crore, we continue to have around 27.9% capital adequacy, and consistently we are able to bring our cost of capital down, and our leverage is just around 3 times, and we have focused on maintaining adequate liquidity. We have around 700 crores of liquidity on our balance sheet, and all of that ensures that our balance sheet remains robust and there is consistency and stability in the business. Of course, the year was a challenging year, and there were multiple challenges which came around and which has impacted the performance for this financial year. But in the history of microfinance, we have reported losses. This would be an exceptional year. And hopefully going forward, we will continue to improve from here and report better results.
What I wanted to check was that is the financial impairment going to stop, or will the provisions reduce, or is it going to continue in quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3, quarter 4 of next year? What is the management perspective on the reduction of the provisions, because it's hitting your bottom line?
Yeah, so we have guided towards 4-6% credit cost as compared to 9.4% for the full financial year. We are carrying 230 crores of management overlay, which will subsume if there is any challenge. We anticipate this to a lot of these provisions or the right of recovery to happen, and also provisions to roll back. So the credit cost would not be as elevated as this is for this financial year.
I'm not very convinced, but I wish you all the best. And I hope you can return some wealth to the shareholders through dividends, because obviously the growth is not there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to only one question. We have our next question from the line of Anush Mukashi from Yadnaya Academy Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, my question is about, I've observed this, that there are banks which are opting for this CGFMU, which is sort of a hedge against maybe microfinance stress. So can Muthoot Microfin opt for the same, and then we can, I mean, that can help us reduce the provisioning number and the credit cost eventually? Your thoughts on this, please.
Yeah, the credit guarantee scheme, CGFMU, is a useful scheme, definitely, but there are certain limitations of that scheme. One is that there is certain amount of coverage that can be availed in that scheme, which is limited to around 15% of your portfolio. It comes into effect, it's like buying an insurance. In the year you buy, it is not effective, but in the subsequent year, it is more effective. It is also having a upfront cost, which is in the tune of 1.5 to 3%, and subsequently there is a first loss which you need to take to around 5%. So in a year like this, where your credit cost is more than 5%, it definitely helps. But in a year where credit cost is much lesser, that CGFMU becomes a little bit of a cost prohibitive, but we are critically evaluating this for certain portfolio. We can definitely take that. That is something that our risk management team is evaluating.
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
So, sir, we will...
Hello?
We will request you to rejoin the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kamal Mulchandani from Investec Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So can you please guide us what is our current policy of giving a top-up loan or a second tranche of loan while the existing loan of the customer is going on?
For the Cyclops loans, the current policy is if she should complete at least 50% of the loan amount or 50% of the net disbursement amount should get as a loan amount, and she should complete at least 9 installments without any delinquency.
Nine installments without any delinquency or?
And the net disbursement amount should be greater than 50% of the loan amount.
Okay, so whichever higher is met, then you consider giving a second term.
Yeah.
And this is same for your existing customers or a new customer?
This is only for the existing customer. So a customer who has taken a 50,000 rupee loan, she should have at least repaid back 25,000 to for her to be eligible for a second cycle loan or top-up loan. And minimum installment should have been paid is 9 months.
Okay, got it. And have there been any interest overseas during the quarter, and if you could quantify this thing?
Yeah, so we have taken a higher write-off in the current quarter. So which is around 332 crores for the entire year, and the bulk of the write-off is taken in the in the current quarter, Q4, which has led to an interest reversal to the tune of 49 crores.
Can you give some guidance over your disbursement and AUM growth for next year? That would be my last question. Thanks.
So we have guided for 5 to 10% growth into the next financial year, and we expect we can attain the NIM which we have reported in the previous in the current financial year, because the cost of fund is coming down in this difficult environment. We have seen the cost of fund is coming down by around 18 basis points, and plus we have seen the rate cut very recently, and it will take around 6 to 9 months to translate this rate cut into the real system. So that also should help us in terms of managing the NIM. The OPEX also we will retain in the same range as in the current financial year. The credit cost, as we discussed earlier, will definitely come down compared to the current financial year because of whatever stress. So I think we expect a better performance coming up in FY26.
But sorry, I am not seeing the PPT for straight as I saw your guidance. But why is the growth so low? Is what we are expecting for the next year? Like, if you are expecting the credit cost to peak out and the asset quality stress to peak out, so why are we not so much confident over growth?
No, we definitely can grow more. I think what we are guiding here is based on how the guardrails kind of play out. The second guardrail has just been implemented, and we are seeing increased rejection rate definitely, which is also impacting on the operating cost. But I think in a couple of months that will smooth out, and I think the field officers will also understand the policy, and they will source better qualified customers, and our strategy of looking at other products will also play out. So I think these are conservative guidance. Definitely we can do better than this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anand Mundra from Maya Tantra Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So, firstly, the PCR across buckets has been increased, so that's a good sign. And I just wanted to understand, is this going to be a standard feature going ahead, or over time will we revert back to the earlier provisions that we had in our stage 1, stage 2, and stage 3 buckets? So is this a permanent kind of a change? That was question number one. And my second question was on, I just wanted to understand, what is the total write-off pool size that we have as at the end of this quarter, from which there could be potential recoveries in the future?
So on the provision coverage, as I said, there is a 230 crores of management overlay. So management overlay, as I think things play out, it will be subsumed in the overall credit cost. So while we would continue to maintain sufficient provision coverage, stage 2 coverage might have some changes. Stage 3 coverage, if you look at historically, we have maintained stage 3 coverage of 66%, 65% on an average, which based on the portfolio and based on our ECL calculation will remain. Definitely, I think from a perspective of recovery from write-offs, that will happen. This year we have around 538 crores of write-offs, and previous year we had 131 crores of write-offs. So between these two pools, we have seen recovery of good 20% over the period of time. So we anticipate that money would be recovered, and that will contribute to the bottom line.
Got it. And sir, when is it that we review our ECL model? Is it an annual exercise or something? Or when do we review it?
Yeah, so this is a very good question and a very relevant question. So we have reviewed our ECL model with our statutory auditors. Based on our reviewed ECL model, we have expanded it a little bit. We are considering, earlier we were only considering GDP growth, and we were considering inflation. But now we are also considering what is the employment ratios, like in terms of labor participation rates, and also the per capita income of each state, because each state has a different impact. So our ECL model is a lot more robust now. And we will be implementing that from Q1. The management overlay that we have created is considering that ECL model. And the idea is to have one full financial year with the existing ECL model and change only in the next financial year going forward. So we have taken into consideration the impact on the portfolio that has happened over a period of time, and new PD LGDs have been developed. This has been vetted by BDO and our internal auditors as well, statutory auditors.
Got it. And so this provision, this management overlay that we've created is lying across buckets. It's not in a single bucket.
Yes, correct.
Okay. That's it from my end. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening. So first question is just a clarification on your comment around Tamil Nadu. This 99.6% collection efficiency number which you have given, I assume that one is for April. What are the trends in this month, specifically in the last few days in the month of May?
Yeah, so we have not seen any adverse impact on the portfolio in the last 6-7 days of operation. And 99.6 is just for April, it's for X bucket for April. And currently also the collection remains quite robust.
Yeah, so these ordinances come on 27th, this came on the newspaper, so on 28-29. There were a few questions were asked by the customers, but afterwards there is nothing. Even if you look at the May first week also, the collection is remain as earlier we used to get.
Okay, got it. And secondly, how is Karnataka trending now in terms of collection efficiency for the month of March and April for you?
Yeah, so collection efficiency is improving. So if you look at the fresh delinquency which was there in Karnataka, was in February the peak was there, which was around 9.1%. So ex-bucket collection efficiency at that point of time became around 91%. It has, in March, it has gone back to around 94% and it continues to improve month on month. So even for April month, it was around 95%.
And just lastly, can you explain the chart which you have put on slide number 70, where you have shown the impact of delinquency on specific retail loan products for one type of loan to type of loan and so on?
Yeah. Yeah, so if you look at this chart, basically it talks about the delinquency on various product exposure that is there. So if you look at the customer who's having a gold loan exposure, the delinquency for those customers is much lesser. So these are customers who are having a one type of loan or two type of loan or three type of loans. So across, I think if the customer has multiple type of loans also, but one loan among them is gold loan, so usually the delinquency is lower. I think the second lowest category is credit card. If the customer has a credit card exposure, they have lesser delinquency. But among our products, if you look at, if they have some sort of a mortgage loan, then also there is a lesser delinquency. I think both of them basically indicate towards if the customer has an ability to create assets, that is creating savings, which shows that their income is creating some sort of a surplus for the household, and that really makes them a more credit worthy customer. Whereas if you look at a business loan product where the delinquency is much higher, which indicates that the customer is a higher profile, which is there for business loan, but she is coming out and taking a microfinance loan only because she is not getting any more business loan. And hence, the delinquency relatively is considerably higher. So we are not looking at those type of customers. We are looking at gold loan. We are looking at the mortgages. We are looking at vehicle loans.
Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dikshan from DV Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Firstly, can you, since you have mentioned that this is the peak of our provisions, can you one mention, excluding the management overlay, what is our total provisions? And secondly, what is the percentage of these total provisions that can be recovered in the coming 3 to 4 quarters?
So, excluding the management overlay, our credit cost is 7.5%. And the bulk of this overlay, around 134, pertains to Karnataka portfolio, which is basically kind of a just 2 months or less than 2 months kind of an old problem which started in February, mid of February. So we anticipate a good amount of this money to come back because usually the customer gets influenced because of the media reporting and other group customers who are not paying. And then eventually when she realized that it is hampering her credit worthiness and the future borrowing, then she starts repaying. So after 2 to 3 months, they generally start repaying. So we anticipate not all of this to go into an NPA and or write-off further. This good amount of this will get reversed. That is our anticipation. That's why our guidance towards credit cost is 4 to 6%. 6% in a worst case scenario is a similar thing like a Karnataka happens as well. But in a normal scenario, it will be close to around 4%.
So you are expecting around 70%, 60% of your provisions to come back to you?
Traditionally, not 70%, but around 60% of our provisions come back over a period of 2 to 3 years.
Okay. So, the question I'm sure that our management has asked to ourselves is that what is wrong with the system that we have right now on the lending that we are doing, and we have identified which are the low risk and high risk areas. What I really want to understand from you is what are we changing right now which will make us a better business going forward?
So we have made multiple changes. So of course, I think the events like Karnataka, which are more driven by political interventions, are beyond our control. But in terms of improving on our underwriting, our constant endeavor is to ensure that we improve our underwriting quality, understanding of our borrower. We are focusing more on digital. We have got an eKYC license, so we'll be using that to authenticate customers. You have a better KYC like Aadhaar ID, then it helps us to do, or Aadhaar or PAN card, it helps us to do a better credit bureau check, which will also give us a comprehensive view of the customer's leverage and the repayment track record. That will also help us. Apart from that, we are introducing products to capture the wallet share of the customer. Our existing customers, out of that 12,37,000 customers, are having multiple products, which cumulatively amounts to around 28,000 crores of portfolio. We want to capture that without over leveraging those customers. We will be able to make a greater wallet share of those customers, and those customers will actually become a part of our performing portfolio. And that will really result in better quality of assets and greater customer retention and a better return on assets.
I understand that what we are doing ahead, but like, and Karnataka is a very recent issue as you have mentioned, but apart from Karnataka and even some of the cyclones that have happened, there seems to be a higher stress in our book than the total market's book in the regulated space. Something else must have also gone wrong, as many people are thinking here. And I don't want to harp on this question too much, but sir, if you could just give us some color on what has really been the deciding factor that this is something that we want to be doing again. Is there something like that for our business, sir?
So, if you look at the industry level, the delinquencies are much higher as compared to us. In terms of prevention of any impact of natural calamity like a cyclone, we have a natural calamity insurance product, NACAD insurance, which has really helped us in preventing any damage that was caused due to cyclones in Tamil Nadu or heavy rains in Tamil Nadu. 50,000 of our customers were impacted, but we were able to get those claims on time, hence the repayment has remained better as compared to the industry. I think overall, we have relooked at our scorecard as well. We have included more variables into the scorecard, something like what we had just discussed regarding customer having gold loan exposure, having lesser of a delinquency. Those kind of inputs have gone into the scorecard, which will help us underwrite better.
Okay. So my last question is on our ROA and ROE outlook. Since we are not expecting a lot of top-line growth right now, or since we are not guiding a lot of top-line growth right now, what do you think the ROA and ROE target should be for FY27?
So ROA guidance, what we are giving in terms of FY26 is around 2%, and ROE translates to around 10%, and we feel that with the moderate growth also, we would be able to make sure that our operating costs rationalize. Our credit costs will come down considerably, and more importantly, our net interest margin remained robust, so we should be able to deliver around 2% ROA comfortably. And 27 onwards, FY27, definitely we will be back to around 4% ROA, provided there is no event situation that comes in.
So, do you think that this microfinance issue that we are seeing all around at this point of time, of course we are seeing that a lot of managements have also picked out, and since our management has been so good in lending and borrowing both parts, sir, do you think that it is blown out of proportion at this point of time because we are seeing better collection ratios also?
Yeah, so I think every business goes through a cycle. Definitely microfinance, these cycles have become a little bit more frequent. We had COVID a couple of years ago, and now we are seeing a crisis of over leverage and then state level legislation. From a point of view of rebound, definitely microfinance as an industry has shown multiple times, whether it was Andhra Pradesh crisis, whether it was demonetization or COVID, it has bounced back reasonably well. So definitely we get impacted quite a lot because our nature of our product is unsecured, but we get back and are able to kind of get back to normalcy also equally fast because the nature of the loans is short-term loans. And the borrowers are quite reliable borrowers, and most of the borrowers are not intentional defaulters. They are situational and circumstance which lead to this delinquencies. So I think definitely microfinance has a long-term kind of space in this lending space, and we continue to play a very important role. And as we continue to see more and more borrowers are getting into this space and getting benefit and getting into the formal segment, it plays an important role in financial inclusion, and I don't think so that it will have a dark future. It will have a bright future going forward.
Thank you so much for the clarity, sir. Wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximum Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, most of the questions have been answered. Just wanted some more color on how the growth in terms of new disbursements is getting impacted because of the guardrail too. What are you seeing in the ground? Because you've been like we have been having that for the last 5-6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think because of the guardrail too, we have seen a little bit of a jump in the rejection, which is on a temporary basis around 5-6% additional, 3% additional incremental rejection has come in. I think definitely that impacts the ability to retain customers, because if a customer has other loans outside, we are not able to give her a loan. Definitely it is in the interest of the industry. We have seen the industry has degrown from 4,40,000 to 3,75,000 crores as of March. And the leverage has also gone down among the borrowers. I think from a long-term sustainability point of view, I think it is pretty good. And as a player who has been there for a long term, we have good capital adequacy. We will continue to contribute to the growth. So we will definitely will be benefited once this over leveraging scenario is kind of unwinds.
And sir, on the Karnataka situation, so I think till December, it was one of the better performing states. So I think we saw a lot of spike happening in the month of February for the industry also. And so now, do you expect this problem to sort of take its own slow time, or do we think that a pullback in terms of asset quality can happen in a very short time? Because, all this problem just happened over late Jan and Feb.
So, I think that's the benefit of microfinance, that all of these challenges get unwinded also quite quickly. We are already seeing a pullback in Karnataka. We don't anticipate any challenges. See, the guide, the regulation that is there, it is restrictive towards unregulated lending. So definitely, in the long run, that will help the regulated entities like us to service our customers, because the unregulated players will move out of the space, and the bad name that the industry gets because of the practices of an unregulated player, that will not impact our borrowers. So that definitely will help us in the long run. It's a short-term pain, but for a long term, definitely this will be beneficial for the borrower as well as for the industry.
So by when do you expect the situation to normalize there, sir?
I think by September onwards, things will start looking a lot better. And already we are seeing improvement, but these are early days, so I think we need to see a little bit more trend. By September onwards, we should definitely see positive trends coming in.
Okay, so thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anush Mukashi from Yarnaya Academy. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. You called out that by September, you will see things to be turning out better. But in FY25, Q3 was impacted also because of some festive reasons. So, do you expect the same to happen in this Q3 as well?
No, we don't anticipate that to happen, because I think we have taken some proactive steps. So, certain things like we have introduced a policy where all the installments which are falling on a festival date, they automatically get kind of into an extension of a tenure while we are originating, not for the existing loans, but any loan that we are originating at the time of fixing the installment, if we see that installment is falling on a gazetted holiday or a holiday for the state which is celebrated at a large level, that loan tenure gets extended. So a 24-month loan becomes 25 months and then 26 months is 2 installments. That has been multiple ways. One is on the collection. because on a festival day, the staff is also not available and the customer is also not available, then the collection does not happen. But now that it will not be an installment day, so it will not impact the portfolio. Secondly, it will also help in staff retention in a big way, because when there were no such holidays, then the staff was required to go and collect either just before the festival date or after the festival date, which also impacted his ability to celebrate his festival with the family. So that relates to attrition and all those activities. But all of these initiatives will help us build a robust portfolio and help customer satisfaction as well as employee satisfaction in a big way.
Okay. Thanks for that clarity. And you said that FY27, provided there is no any adverse situation, you see ROA of roughly 4%. Can you also call out the estimated like the ROA number for that year as well?
So we can, depending on the leverage, including the off-balance sheet portfolio, we will have around 4.5 to 5 times leverage that can result into around 18 to 20% ROE.
18 to 20. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So once again, I thank you all for participating in our earnings call. As I outlined in my opening remarks, our focus is on building a robust and sustainable business model. And short-term pains are for the purpose of laying down the foundation of a long-term sustainable growth. We are taking up a very strategic move in terms of exploring products which are of secure nature for our customers. I'm hopeful that the regulatory guidelines on the qualifying assets will also come in rather quickly, and which will allow us to take benefits of these data mining that we have done. I think with these products, we will be able to retain our customers better. We continue to have a very strong brand. We are strong leaders in digital space. We have 1.8 million customers who are having our app, and we have seen their repayment trends. We have a very strong rating, and we continue to maintain our rating. We have a good ESG rating also now. We have a very strong liability franchise, which is consistently bringing down the cost of capital. We have adequate capital adequacy of 27.9%, and we have a strong, stable team with a very, very robust branch infrastructure. All of these are fundamentals which are in place. The year which has gone by has been challenging, but I'm very confident that going forward, these fundamental pillars of success that we have put in place will help us achieve the double bottom line that we have wished to and we have aimed for forever, that is social impact and also sustainable return for our investors. With that, I appreciate your patience and request your support and look forward to interacting with you in future calls.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.